This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, Kings in the North, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Yeah, the game, the win is massive. Obviously, they're a good team. They're probably the best team in the league.
And Montreal just beat what Mauro Biello believes is the best team in Major League Soccer, 1-0 with 10 men in their home barn. I'm sure you didn't like it. It was not fun to watch. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC Pitchside, a rare live edition on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thomas.
Yes.
We're going to have to talk some people off the ledge tonight. I think. I would think.
It always makes for great radio when people have to be talked off ledge.
Mike Wilner knows all about it. But TFC Pitchside, and they lose to Montreal. They still remain in first place. That's the perspective here. But bigger news today, they also lose Sebastian Giovinco for about 4 weeks, according to the club, with a strained quad and a strained adductor.
Kind of a good news, bad news situation, because
where's the good news in that?
Well,
what do you find good in that?
I'll tell you right now, and here's my mad thinking right here. You look at Giovinco and go, yeah, it's horrible. He's out for 4 weeks. But now people are kind of forgetting the loss and more concentrating on Giovinco's injury. So that's good for Vanny, but it's bad for Vanny. I'm just trying to look at positives here, people. There's not that many.
We will take your phone calls tonight as we are live, a rare live edition of TFC Pitchside, 1-888-666-0590-416-870-0590 or *590 on the cellular device. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos.
I hope people are not shy tonight.
I hope not either.
Because everyone was going crazy on social media. Now here's the chance to let everyone know. What do you think?
Well, do we get any calls?
Do you think we're going to get calls?
I hope so. I think there's enough TFC fans out there that are just unhappy with the way things went. Look, you look at this game Saturday night, and it's a big game. TFC come into it winless, unbeaten in 7 games, and that's getting everybody excited. They're getting more mainstream coverage, as some people in the city said they weren't getting enough of, and they were one of the hot stories over the weekend in the sports scene with the Olympics in the rearview mirror. And TFC have kind of gained this reputation that they don't seize those moments. And once again, they didn't seize that moment, not only from a perspective of, hey, you're getting some coverage now, but also from a perspective and a more real perspective of, this is a team in Montreal that A, is your rival. You want to win every derby match you absolutely can, right?
Of course.
And on top of that, you beat Montreal, they are gone. They're not even in your rearview mirror anymore. They are dead. They are not catching you in the standings. Now they're only 6 points back. So it's possible.
Again, I'm going to try and play devil's advocate and say they're still tops in the East. So as much of that hurt TFC supporters and the club itself, it's not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world kind of has happened with Giovinco being gone for 4 games.
That's the bigger problem
right now.
That's the biggest problem.
Yes.
Daniel is in Toronto. You're first up. Your thoughts on the game Saturday and where TFC stands going forward.
Hey, guys. First of all, I love the show. Hope you guys keep it up. You guys are doing great.
Thanks, man.
It's upsetting. It's really, really upsetting. You know, just when things start to get on a roll, they were in first place. We got a big derby match coming up at home. Lose the game, Giovinco out. It's just typical Toronto and typical Toronto FC. It's hard to look forward to the playoffs or really, you know, get my hopes up again. And it's upsetting.
Well, how high are your hopes? That's what I want to know. How high are your hopes?
Well, it's the best the club's ever been, right? It's the earliest they've been in. I mean, the latest they've been in first place. And I don't know. I wanted a playoff victory. Maybe we can win a round.
That's all still on the cards, Dan. And thanks for the call, and really appreciate the kind words. Look, and this is what I take from what I've talked about with people on Twitter at DanRicho590 and at UnfitRef is where you can find Thomas. This is, in a sense, it's a typical Toronto FC type of result, Thomas, in a sense, because whenever people start to believe more in this squad, they give slap you in the face and tell you, no, you can't believe in us just yet.
I was going to say, they give you a reason not to believe.
Exactly. And that's what this was on Saturday. And that's why people are so upset with this result. We do have a poll question. We give it out every single show. Mostly you hear it on the podcast or when we do not do this live in this time slot. Tonight it is, and you can find it at DanRicho590. Can TFC still win the Eastern Conference or remain first place in the Eastern Conference during this Sebastian Giovinco injury? 4 weeks is the timetable for the Atomic Ant. Thomas, do you believe TFC can remain first?
I think so. I think the next run of fixtures is in their favor. And I think the team has done well without it. Okay, yeah, Sebastian Giovinco hasn't been out. Really, like, hasn't been out for long periods of stretch. And I'm saying
the most durable, tiny person on the planet.
Can you imagine? Yeah. And you look at when Bradley was out, when Altidore was out, they kind of grew as a group and show that they can produce results. Will they do that with Giovinco out? I still think they can.
Dan Reach with Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 on the cell. Can TFC remain first of the Eastern Conference? Can they hold this spot? Can they hold a home playoff game, one of those top two bye week spots in the MLS playoff picture without Sebastian Giovinco out 4 weeks, possibly missing up to four games? Now, I think it is possible that they can, mainly because you look at the schedule, like you just mentioned, at Chicago, home to New York Red Bull, that's going to be a tough game. Home to Philadelphia, home to Orlando, home to DCU. DCU and Orlando, those aren't cupcake matches because those are two teams that are right in the thick of the playoff battle as well. Plus, you have New York and Philly, who are both chasing TFC right now for that final spot or for one of those two bye week spots. These are all huge games and you're going to be missing your best player for them.
The New York Red Bull game one, that game I think is the big one. That's going to be a little defining. I think they can beat Philadelphia at home. I also think they can beat Orlando and DC. DC is not even in the playoffs right now and Orlando's
DC hasn't lost since they left BMO Field.
You know what? You're making up some good points here. Maybe I'm going to change my mind.
Tej is in Brampton. You're next. What's up, Tej?
Hey, Dan, Thomas. Thanks for taking my call. Always wonderful chatting with you guys on Twitter. I'm at Boca Cal, but it's nice to talk to you guys finally on the phone.
Thanks very much, man.
Absolutely. Guys, I'll keep it simple. You know, all of us fans, we grab the paper and pencil and start putting out some of our own formations, what we think can survive over the next 4 weeks. I was thinking in my head that the next 4 weeks would probably feature Benoit Cherou a little bit more. We'd probably get into a little bit more of a defensive kind of holding pattern, one that kind of tries to capitalize on the other team's mistakes. I mean, we can't be aggressive without Seba's genius up front. Having said that, would you guys expect to see major changes to the lineup to account for Seba missing? And would you expect to see Jordan Hamilton feature a little bit more now that Seba's out? Thanks, and can't wait to hear your thoughts on this.
Thanks, Tej.
Well, we were speaking about this before the show. Do you think they'll go with Altidore at the top by himself?
Yeah, I think... And thanks for the call, Tej, but I think there's two options here. Either you go with, or you just say, okay, let's put Ricketts up there, see how him and Altidore combine, or you say, all right, we're missing Sebastian Giovinco. Let's pack up the midfield. Instead of having two strikers now, let's go with a 4-5-1 or, I don't know, a 3-4-1-2. You know, you bring on the extra midfielder, kind of playing behind Altidore. Maybe it's Oso, something like that.
For me, I find it passive if they stay with the one striker. I think they should go with Ricketts at the top, and I think they should go for the jugular. They're still the top team in the East. They still have...
You don't know how Altidore and Ricketts work together.
Only they know how they work together. I'm saying from what I see, I think that they would work well together. I haven't seen them in training. I don't know what their chemistry is like for a full 90 minutes, but I think you should go with that. I think that should be the start. Their first game's against Chicago, right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks from now in Chicago?
Yeah.
It's the worst team in the MLS. Why not give it a go with two at the top with Ricketts?
Don't tell Montreal that. They just lost 3-0 at home to Chicago.
And how many Montreal Impact fans had to be talked off the ledge?
Oh, yeah. They were really on the brink of the ledge there. As for the only thing I don't like about that either is that you lose bringing Ricketts in off the bench as an impact player, a guy with that kind of speed. And also, they're not going to have these next 2 weeks to train together either because they're both on international duty. Altidore with the U.S., Ricketts with Canada.
I can't believe he got called up again.
Who?
Josie.
He's going to captain them on Friday against St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Oh, okay. That makes much more sense.
Got to get him back in. Well, with the way he's played, he deserves the call-up. He's been unbelievable.
I agree.
The other thing about, there's multiple things that came out from Saturday, aside from the Sebastian Giovinco injury, this team still can't beat 10-man squads, or 9-men for that matter. The last two losses in the last 12 games have both come against teams with man disadvantages. One draw, 5 losses against teams that have been shown red this year for TFC. Twice they have conceded the go-ahead goal in those moments. And look, it's a bad goal to give up to Piatti.
Really,
we all know that.
Goal.
It's disgusting. Everybody kind of switched off at the same time.
Ball watched. That's what we call it on the field.
You could call it, and even Greg Vanney said it post-game, it was not good enough. My problem is they can't score with a man extra on the field. And we talked about it after the Houston draw. You got to take more shots. And yes, you look at the stat sheet, they took a ton of shots over the course of the game. But you have to take more from 18 to 20 yards out.
They have to take better shots.
Make the defense think, you know, make them come out of their shell a little bit. You can't, they're giving you the wings. That's why the guy on the wing is always so open, because they want you to pass it out there. So you have to change that and take the extra shot. And Greg Vanney talked about why this team can't score with 10 men after the game Saturday.
We're not getting enough really dangerous chances. Having said that, we still did have a few chances over the course of the game that I think we need to put at least on goal and make the goalkeeper make a save. Second, and also to that, is I think at times we've got to prove that we can hurt teams with a shot from outside of the box. Too often we look away from opportunities that are 18 to 20 yards out with a pretty good look on goal to defer to a cross. And to me, sometimes that doesn't make sense. And so, you hit a couple shots where they have to make saves, or they whiz by the bar, or maybe you score one and all of a sudden their midfield line is having to step out a little bit higher to oppose you, which then creates some spaces in between them. And we just, but once you give up the goal too, they have no longer any real ambition to have to play. They're just going to sit 10 guys in their box, right? So for me, again, giving up the goal is a huge factor in the whole equation.
Yeah, so don't give up that goal to anyone, whether it be Nacho Piatti or the guy who scored for San Jose a month ago.
The crazy thing about it is when they're a man up, they seem more flustered and panicked.
It's in their heads now.
And they seem more complacent. And when things don't go their way, there's just no other answer, which is weird to see from a Greg Vanney team, because Vanney does make those tactical decisions, makes the changes, restructures as he goes. So it's odd to me that they struggle so much when they're up a man. There's more space. There's plenty of space.
Yeah, that's Thomas Michalakos. I'm Dan Riccio. And there is plenty of space. And both times, against San Jose and also against Montreal this past weekend, they had more than 45 minutes with a man advantage, and they had a two-man advantage against San Jose and still gave up the winning goal. That was a brutal night.
I have a quick question for you, though.
Okay.
What feels worse to you? The loss in San Jose to 9 men? Or
anytime you lose to a rival, it's worse.
I
especially
find it just,
on home field.
I found it, for me, this was worse just based on the occasion. with the TIFO and all the fans and the 401 Derby and everything and the CNE going on at the same time, which you probably got stuck in all that
craziness. Well, you know, I didn't have any cricket hot dogs, but it took me a while to get to the game. And just ask producer Bozy, we walked about 40 minutes just to get back to my car after the game. It was an absolute abject disaster. 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, or *590. Couple more minutes to take your TFC calls on TFC pitch side. What is going to happen with Sebastian Giovinco now that he is out for the next 4 weeks? Can TFC maintain one of those top two spots in MLS's Eastern Conference? And those are huge because you avoid having to play those one-off playoff games where anything can happen, anyone can win.
Yeah, they're right there. So Giovinco, it could be a blessing in disguise with Giovinco because you're giving him a rest. As much as you don't, it's a forced rest. It's still a rest. And when we come into the next phase of games, the last three games, the playoffs, when it matters most, Giovinco coming in fresh because he doesn't need that much time to get back into game shape. This guy's a beast.
Yeah, he's
he's done this before.
Well, one thing I think comes out of this is Sebastian Giovinco is not going to win Major League Soccer MVP now. Not that it matters all that much in terms of individual awards. Wants the individual awards. Everybody wants to see him get those individual awards.
He loved his ESPY.
He did pose with ESPY and everything.
Yeah. But you really think that he's going to fall that far off? And because you know the
he
MLS
might have three
MVP.
Games left, like.
And one's against Chicago. There's six goals right there.
Okay. All right. He's not Patrick Mullins. I mean, let's relax here. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. There was also Jay Chapman out 3 weeks with an MCL tear. Let's not overlook that.
And Ashton Morgan.
Ashton Morgan.
I know he's a fringe player.
That was a last week thing, but 6 to 8 weeks for Ashton Morgan. So some of that depth being lost now for TFC as well, who just can't seem to get fully healthy what they do all season long.
The Chapman one, he did well when he was brought into the team because of other injuries, and it's kind of unfortunate right now because he could have had another, you know, dip into the first team.
And not much opportunity to get Armando Cooper more integrated with the team. He's been called up to Panama. Which is, so I think that's not great because I think one of the reasons Vanny didn't use Cooper on Saturday off the bench was because he hasn't really had a whole lot of time to train with the team, and now he's going off on international duty. I mean, that's the trouble you bring in when you bring in international guys, but, I mean, you want him to get as comfortable with the squad as possible.
Yeah, I still don't get why we brought him in.
As a signing?
As a sign, given what's going on right now and how you want him in the team, and yeah, there's a break and you can get him integrated, exactly what you're saying, and now he's going off on international duty, I just find it's wasteful almost. I don't see much.
You don't see much?
I don't see much. You've never seen him play.
I've
never seen him play once, and from what Bozy's telling me in my ear, he spends more time on Instagram than he does on the pitch. I'm not an Instagram guy, but Bozy... he's calling out.
Yeah, well, he does run our TFC pitch side Instagram account.
So I trust Bozy on that.
Okay, there was two great things that came out of, or sorry, one great thing that came out from Saturday and one certainly not great thing in the stands. And that is the TIFO that started the game, which was fantastic. It was incredible. First time they've done it with the new rigging system after the renovations were done. And it was perfect. It was so well thought of. Welcome to the circus. This is our fun house, your nightmare, which, you know, is kind of ironic with the way the game ended. Montreal getting their first ever win in
Toronto. The opposite way, really.
Yeah. It turned out to be Montreal's
fun house.
It's
okay. They didn't mean it that way. But
they did not mean it that way, but it was well done. It's one of the first things you saw from the supporter groups getting together as a whole and working together, which is something that hasn't always happened with this club. They spent more than $3,000, I've been told, to build it. And it was clever. It was smart. It was great. It's a great photo. And it makes that atmosphere look so awesome. And it felt awesome going into the game on Saturday night. Then you had the other one,
I'll help you with that one. The TFC supporter
with a two stick, and it
and he's receiving a sexual act of some kind.
Yes,
that's okay to say, I think, on live radio.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
going to
get
fine.
Fired for that.
Look, no, it's bad, and it gives TFC.
It's lame. You want me to tell you why it's lame? Because it's not funny.
Get on your soapbox. Go ahead.
It's not creative.
Just be careful with how you say it.
Yeah, it's not funny. It's not creative.
Right.
The whole point of these supporter groups and everything, right? It's to be witty and direct without being too obvious. And we see it all around different countries.
Like
and,
the original TIFO was.
Exactly. It means something. There's what we saw in the stands, one small minority, let's not blanket statement all supporter groups for one dumb person.
Yeah.
Or two dumb
whoever
people.
Made it whoever and whoever made displayed it.
But it looked like 12-year-olds with a can of paint.
Yeah.
In their garage making that TIFO because it was stupid.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's not even remotely funny. It's
misogynistic.
Oh, it's definitely misogynistic and sexist, and it gets a lot of people up in arms. And this is almost now a theme with TFC fans, right? I mean, last year you had the incident with Shauna Hunt on City News with the you know what it was, the FTRIP situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you get what I mean. But it was, and now this is almost happening yearly. Like, who are these people? How did that get into the stadium?
Okay, perfect. Perfect thing. I can't bring an umbrella in the stadium, okay? They confiscate every umbrella. No one can, that's why you have everyone in those ponchos, right?
Right.
How did this get into the stadium?
I have no idea.
They check every bag.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to get the blame on this one, you got to be pointing at security and TFC security. Yeah.
Yeah, and TFC have issued an apology, and they're looking into the situation, but it's not funny. And I don't want people to blanket statement any one supporter group or any of the supporter groups, for that matter, for one idiot.
No.
And whoever he is, and the guy has been or somebody posing as the guy, maybe it is actually
nine
him,
positives
been
to
parading
one negative
around on Twitter under a new account and yelling at some of the people who have been talking about it today. And it's just a bad situation. And we should be talking about the original TIFO that was supposed to be something great. And it was something great. And that's going to live on forever. But it's also going to have this subheading where you see this.
Well, that's the thing. Nine positives, one negative out of the night. What's going to get the focus in the news? Let's be real. It's going to be the one negative.
Yeah.
Of course. So just because we're talking about that one negative doesn't mean that we're overlooking all the positives that the supporter groups are doing and have done.
Dan Riccio, TFC Pitch Side. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are live, a rare live show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Checking in on our TFC Pitch Side poll question, and it is, can TFC remain tops in the Eastern Conference with Sebastian Giovinco out for the next 4 weeks? And Thomas, I gotta say, I am shocked. Absolutely shocked right now, because 57% of you that have voted on this say yes, TFC will survive Sebastian Giovinco's injury. Given what I usually hear on Twitter, I can't believe that.
They're all drinking the same Kool-Aid
because
as
most
I.
people say, TFC is nothing without Sebastian Giovinco.
They're not nothing. They're certainly a lot better. But I think the team has made great strides this season where the focus is not on one player only. A lot of players have come into focus. A lot of players are playing their best football. So, yeah, I do believe they can survive. And the fans, you know, the listeners agree with me for the first time ever.
I'll ask you this.
Yes.
Is this the biggest moment of Jozy Altidore's career in a TFC shirt?
Of course. Of course. And now that I just heard that he's going to be captaining the United States against St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Tough match.
Tough match. Captain wearing the armband. I think this is a perfect example, like a perfect situation for Jozy to prove his worth. He doesn't have to really prove himself to anyone. But yeah, given all his injuries, it's now you're the main guy. Let's see what you can do with it. Let's see if you can run with the ball. I think he can. I think he's in a great form, but let me ask you a question now.
All right.
Do you think Seba gets the very best out of Jozy? Like, if Seba's not there, we're not going to see the best of Jozy.
Well, that's something we don't know, because we've never really seen Jozy on the field without Seba. This is completely unknown territory for TFC. We don't know how they're going to play without Sebastian Giovinco. We don't know how they are going to look without Sebastian Giovinco. Who's going to take the mantle? Who's going to be the focal point of the offense? Ideally, it would be Jozy Altidore, but maybe it's spread around a little bit more. Maybe you see a little bit more put on Jonathan Osorio. Give him a little bit more of an attacking impetus. Give to St. Ricketts more of a chance. Here's the one thing that I mentioned earlier in the year, and it's, I know he's really fallen off the radar, but Molan Babouli. Now, hear me out on this. I know he's been playing with TFC too. But he is
you and your Mo Babouli
the most the most similar player to Sebastian Giovinco. Not level wise, but playing style wise. I like to have, if you're going to go in a two striker system, I like to have my segunda punta, my secondary striker, my support striker, and my big man, my true number
nine.
You
really did not just compare Babouli to Giovinco.
Not level wise, obviously, okay. But. Like-minded type of players, similar playing style players. It's why I said they didn't work together at the start of the year because they do too many things alike. They think similarly.
He's a poor man's Giovinco?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. So I'm curious to see if Greg Vanney maybe thinks about that option. Let's remember, Molan Babouli looked great in the Canadian Championship game with Jordan Hamilton, where TFC spanked the first team of Montreal with their reserves, essentially. But that was the Canadian Championship, and obviously not this weekend. TFC pitch side, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Very happy to be joined now by Nick Sabetti. He works for Goal.com and does some stuff for Sportsnet.ca as well. This was pretty much as big a win as you could get at this point in the season for Montreal, eh, Nick?
Well, it was an unexpected result, really, given that the Impact are haven't been really very good on the road this year, or aren't really good on the road in general. But then had never won at BMO Field against a Toronto Sea side, which I think is overall a better team than the Impact are, and I think the Impact, with the way that they set themselves up in such a defensive posture, that they understood that, you know, they showed this TFC side, you know, that kind of that respect of, you know, of how strong they are. So, but certainly a huge result for them, given how difficult this week was for them with the results that they had, a 3-0 loss to Chicago, a draw against DC United at home. And doubts creeping in about, you know, whether or not this team really has what it takes to make a deep run to the playoffs, but the performance that they put in against Toronto was one that really restores some faith into this side that maybe they could do something in the playoffs.
I may be totally off on this, Nick, but I in the matches that I've watched and the games that I've seen Montreal and the way they started the year without Didier Drogba, I kind of wonder if this team is better served without Didier Drogba in the lineup.
Well, the record certainly suggests that. I don't know. I don't have the numbers. I don't know the exact numbers right now in my mind, but certainly they have been better without him. Last season, Didier Drogba was fantastic with the Impact, and going into this campaign, it seemed like the Impact would go as far as, you know, as where Drogba would take them. But instead, it's been Ignacio Piatti, who has been the Impact's best player. He's got 14 goals now in the season, and he scored another clutch goal for the Impact against Toronto. So he's really been the key guy. Without him, they're not the same going forward. But with Drogba, I mean, he's been good, and they have Matt Kroosy now. But, sometimes when Drogba's on the field, they overcomplicate things. They look for him in moments where maybe they should just try and keep the ball. They play a little bit too direct sometimes, so... No, I mean, certainly Drogba in the lineup, I think if he can come to form at this, you know, this stage of the season, that would be crucial for them to kind of going all the way.
The Callum Malice red card, was it harsh to you?
I thought so, yes. I mean, for me, this is the kind of game I thought that, you know, the referee overall didn't handle very well. And to be fair, you know, it's a it's a kind of game, and you know, with its intensity and the kind of intensity that we seldom really see in MLS. You know, it was a special game. Obviously, you know, a big rivalry game, but one where the intensity levels were very high. And I thought that, you know, maybe in that situation he could have handled it differently and maybe try and settle things down. But I thought it was harsh. I didn't think it was. I mean, it was a bit silly on his part, on Malice's part, but at the same time, I didn't think it was anything especially violent from him. I mean, opinions vary, but it's certainly a.
We agree with you.
Yeah, we totally agree.
We totally agree with you. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you have to give him a yellow card in that situation, but I think both yellows to both guys probably would have been best served. It wasn't really malicious, and it wasn't dirty in the sense that I think a straight red card should be given.
Mm. I think maybe, I mean, the reaction from the Toronto players.
And I don't think Gonzalez saw it, to be honest with you.
His back was turned.
Reaction, yeah, he reacted to the reaction of TFC players, and you can't do that as a ref.
And, it, you know, maybe not having seen the collision or not having seen it really in a clear way, that having, you know, looking at the reaction afterwards, maybe you suspect that there was something really grave that happened. But yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate more for the fact that I would have liked to see an 11v11 game in the second half.
TFC and, probably would have
in
too.
In a way, it might have been better. It probably would have been better for Toronto FC. Obviously, they lost in the end, but. Probably would have been better for them to play an impact side of 11 men because, you know, the impact, basically playing with 10 players in the box almost, or in the final third, very deep, low block, and made things complicated. So maybe with an extra guy in the field for that second half, they play a little bit more open, there's a bit more space, and maybe it's a different game for them. So, you know, you never know. But, yeah, no, I thought it was harsh. And I thought, you know, refereeing, obviously, in MLS isn't very good, and they're not usually very good with handling these situations. And they tend to, when things get heated, they tend to, you know, pull out the cards. And I don't think that's always a solution. I think sometimes they need to just, you know, take players aside and calm things down, especially in a game like this. But, you know, these aren't games that they're used to. I mean, that was a special game from an intensity standpoint.
6 points back of TFC for first place right now. Giovinco's out for 4 games. Montreal's next games, home to Orlando, away to Philadelphia, home to New England, and away to New York Red Bull. What kind of points return would you like to see from the Montreal Impact?
Oof, well, it'll be interesting to see now what this win does for them. But you'd expect them to win the games at home. But it's been funny. I mean, they've been very inconsistent this year. I mean, when you expect them to kind of win at home or to do well, they don't. And when you don't expect, you know, so. Like we saw against Chicago and D.C., I'm still not convinced about this team yet, but you'd expect them to win their games at home and maybe pick up some points on the road. But for me, right now, the way things look in the standings, they should be fine for the playoffs, but they, you know, that's not enough for them. I think that they, going into the season, I think that they want to make a good run at the playoffs, and for that, I think they really want to, you know, finish in a, I think third position would be maybe a realistic goal for them at this point in the season, and to get that, secure that home game. So obviously you don't want to start the playoffs on the road, but it'll be interesting to see what this win does for them, because this week wasn't really a good week for them with the results that they had.
There's still some
question marks about this team.
Yeah, they won the one game that they probably went into the week saying, we're probably not going to win that one. But anyways, Nick, really appreciate you doing this. Time is the enemy. Thanks for all the great work.
Hey, anytime. Talk soon.
There he is, Nick Sabetti, goal.com and sportsnet.ca. One thing I want you to ponder as we go to break here, Thomas.
Sure thing.
And we'll come back and we'll answer this question. Can TFC beat teams when they bunker down the way Montreal did on Saturday? They haven't shown that they can score against 10 men, and Montreal came in with a clear modus operandi. Let's put 11 men behind the ball and see if TFC can beat us.
Well, I'll give you my answer a little bit later.
All right, and we'll also have Jonathan Osorio. We'll call it the Oso Olympics. Plus, we go around the MLS. Stan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
I think it's the same thing that we always do. If it's a big win or if it's a bad loss, it's context is it's one game, and there's things that we have to clean up and get better at, and we will assess our performance and the things we did well and didn't do well and move on, because I just don't think you can ride the highs and lows of each game over a long season and let them affect you either way. You've got to stay consistent, and you've got to stay honest with the things that you're doing well and not doing well, and keep trying to improve along the way. So while this one is, again, in its way embarrassing and it hurts in front of a sellout crowd to do that, we have to take that emotion and we have to use it as motivation to get better as we go down the stretch. That's the only way. As I said to the group, my last comment is there's nothing we can do about this game anymore. So we learn from it and we will look at some things. There's a few things, in my opinion, that we can be a little bit more attentive to, and we move on, because we still have a stretch in front of us that we need to attack with the right kind of mentality and the right purpose. Whenever you go up a man and you're in your home stadium and you're playing for the chance to maybe even jump to the full top of the table, then yeah, it's a moment lost. And we've had our moments that we've answered, and we've had our moments this year that we haven't answered. And I think, again, us just continuing to build a killer mentality to take care of these situations and make sure that when we have these in our favor, that we've got to finish them off the right way.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio, and you're listening to TFC Pitchside.
Check this out. Since we talking over this deaf beat right here that I put together, I want to hear some of them deaf rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And together, we can get paid and paid full, and paid. Full, and paid full. And paid.
If you're FC Dallas, I think you just try and keep your foot on the gas pedal right now.
And a long ball played here, and Barrios is in, and Barrios tips to Willis! And what a turnaround in the span of 2 minutes! Barrios has given FC Dallas the lead, a wonderful ball played out of the back, and a go-ahead goal for Barrios at the hour mark.
And how quickly has this game turned on its head? Minor Figueroa with a wonderful 60-yard ball to Michael Barrios. Inch perfect.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I just deep up, still coming up with lint. So I start my mission.
You know, the master plan for FC Dallas this weekend in the Texas Derby against Houston, Thomas?
What's that?
Give them that little bit of hope. You know, that just tiny bit of hope. Say, hey, here's a goal. You guys might win this game, and then bam! See you later. We'll score two in 2 minutes and then beat you 3-1.
Predator baiting its prey.
Mauro Diaz with a goal, and as you heard, Michael Barrios.
Your boy toy, Mauro Diaz?
Yeah, that's what you want to call him. So Dallas wins at 3-1. They have a 5-point advantage over TFC, RSL, and Colorado for the Supporters Shield. And they have the worst attendance in MLS. They're like the Cleveland Indians of Major League Soccer.
And they don't care. Yeah. They don't care if no one's coming out to watch them.
Because they just
handle their business.
That's it. Dan Rachel, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside. A little preview there with our MLS Minute coming up. Do want to get to a couple of things here. We got the Oso Olympics with Jonathan Osorio in just a second. But I asked you a question. Have TFC been figured out? Can teams just start coming into BMO Field, bunkered down, park the bus, whatever you want to call it, and just kind of start believing that TFC won't break them down because they aren't creating enough quality scoring chances, to put it quite frankly?
Overall, no. I think it's a psychological thing with TFC right now when it comes to when they're up a man. They have to get over that hump. But right now, without Giovinco for the next four games, absolutely teams are just going to park the bus and say, break us down, and we'll hit you on the counter. That's exactly what they're going to do.
We do have a couple of tweets. Matthew says, in regards to our TFC Pitchside poll question, which is, will TFC survive Giovinco's injury and maintain first place in MLS's Eastern Conference? Matthew says, can they? Yeah. Will they? Probably not. So he is among the 42% of you that currently say no. And TFC Red Army says...
What was that? Can they? Yeah. Will they? Probably not.
Yeah. Peak TFC fan right there. TFC Red Army says TFC is Giovinco. Without him, they are no better than, say, Chicago.
Oh.
With Seb out three games, we will be lucky to get 5 points.
I don't think this guy... actually
5
watches.
Points in 3 games isn't that bad. That's more than a point a game.
I'm calling this person out. I don't think they actually watch MLS.
No, they're not really part of TFC's Red Army.
No.
All right. So, this week or last week at training, our fine producer Emil Delich, who took some great photos of your great tifo, not the bad tifo, the good one before the game against Montreal. You can find them at TFC_pitchside on Instagram. But he also had a chance to speak with good friend, that is Jonathan Osorio of your Toronto FC.
Welcome to the first annual Toronto FC Olympiad with
Jonathan Osorio.
Oh, so I got 12 events for you, and I want you to give me what guy would win the event in your mind. And don't be humble. If it's you, be honest, okay? So 100 meter, who takes it?
Right now on our team? Tassan Ricketts.
5,000 meter.
Michael Badley.
Shot put.
That's a good one. Shot put, I think I'm going to go with Nick Hagelin.
Josie?
Josie, yeah, man. That'll be tight for gold and silver. Nick is really strong. He's a very athletic guy, so that's why I said him. But yeah, maybe Josie.
High jump.
Nick Hagelin.
Archery.
Benoit Cheru.
Boxing.
Best hands. I mean, it'd have to be one of the goalies. But I don't know if Clint can box, you know what I mean? Me, Ashton. Ashton. Ashton would be a good boxer.
Diving.
Sebastian Giovinco.
Diving. Fencing.
I'll take fencing.
You'll kill him if you need to, right?
It's just not a technique, so I'm all about technique. That's what fencing's about.
Golf.
A lot of guys on our team golf. I just don't know how they do because I'm not much of a golfer. It used to be Joe Bendick. He's gone. I would say maybe Danny Lovitz.
Table tennis.
Oh, who is the best? That's tough, man.
Is it something you guys play often?
Regularly.
Yeah.
Regularly. This would be tight. This would be gold, silver, bronze between Danny Lovitz, and this is not in no order. Danny Lovitz, Marky Delgado. Michael Badley is really good at ping pong, but he doesn't play much. Benoit Cheru is another one that plays not often, but is really good. So between those four, gold, silver, and bronze.
So the last two, just veterans, been around a long time, can play the game, basically, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I've seen them play. They don't play a lot, but when they play, they're really, really good.
20-kilometer walk race. Who walks the most on the pitch?
Oh, my God. That's funny. Who walks the most? Jordan Hamilton.
Last question. Last event. Synchronized swimming. Duet.
Jay Chapman and Alex Bono. Fucking bench there.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Well done to producer Bozy.
Honestly,
and Jonathan Osorio.
Great bit.
The first annual Oso Olympics on TFC pitch side.
Two things very quickly on that one. I think Cheru was just picked for archery just because he has a French name.
Yeah.
So he just went with Cheru. And Giovinco could actually play in two events because he could be the shot put for Hagelin and Josie Altidore, but diving.
Yeah.
I would totally pick Giovinco.
Okay.
Giovinco for diving.
Yeah, he's got that. Yeah, okay. I can see that. Dan Riccio, TFC pitch side with Thomas Michalakos. We got very little time, but let's do the MLS Minute.
The MLS Minute.
All right, TFC fans, give a nice little applause to Orlando City, who beat New York City FC on Sunday night, thanks to a couple of goals from Kaká, and that keeps TFC 2 points ahead of New York for top spot of the East. Kaká's first ever MLS multi-goal game. Can't believe that.
Well, he's not really a goal scorer.
No. New York City FC host DCU Friday night. A win will move them ahead of your Toronto FC. Red Bulls get a goal from Bradley Wright Phillips. They beat New England 1-0. BWP now has 16 on the year. That's tied with Villa and Jovinko for the goal-scoring lead. Philadelphia 2-0 over Sporting Kansas City. Here's a did-you-know fact that I didn't realize. Union lead MLS with 47 goals scored.
Totally off my radar.
Totally. DCU 6-2 over Chicago. I didn't know DC could score goals, but apparently they can. Patrick Mullins a hat trick. That trade's working out for them pretty well. Luciano Acosta, the other guy from Boca Juniors, that is now finding his feet in Major League Soccer. A goal and three assists. Oh, by the way, DC scored 5 times with Chicago down a man.
Take note, TFC.
Yeah, Greg Vanney needs to talk to his friend there, Ben Olson. Columbus 2-0 over San Jose. Dallas mentioned that, 3-1 over Houston this week. Portland scored 4 in the first half over Seattle, win it 4-2.
They have the last place in the Western Conference right now, and they don't have a road victory.
It's incredible. Nicholas Ladero also managing 2 assists in the loss for Seattle. While the LA Galaxy 0-0 with Vancouver. Nigel De Jong possibly leaving for Turkey, and Jassy Zardes may be out for the year with a broken foot, according to reports. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos will be back next Monday night talking about Canada. Big games Friday in San Pedro Sula, and then on September 6th in Vancouver, home to El Salvador. A spot in the hex is on the line, even if Will Johnson isn't there. Dan Riccio, TFC Pitch Time.